of the symposium.
I was taking a books and film class through the Friends of the Humanities that Dr. Wilson teaches each spring, and we were actually reading several of Flannery O'Connor's short stories. And she came to class and announced that she found this recording, and once she had it digitized, she brought the disc and let us hear a little clip from it, and then it kind of just grew from there.
Well, put a little historical perspective on this tape. When was the tape recorded?
It was recorded in 1962 when Flannery O'Connor was at Wisdom Center giving a talk. She was kind of on a lecture tour. She went to New Orleans after she was here, and she was talking about the Catholic writer in the Protestant South. So, but the recording is very special because it's only one of a few of her voice that exists. And it's about 40 minutes long. So, I mean, her whole talk is there, and it's pretty clear.
You know, I think people are sometimes surprised when they hear about now celebrities having come to our campus and doing tours like that. But that was a time before internet, before, you know, easy access to audio. There were no TED Talks back then, so you wouldn't have heard Flannery O'Connor giving some inspirational talk elsewhere. So people gave a lot of lectures. People attended lectures. It's hard to, you know, I guess we don't think of that as such a unique, special occurrence, the lecture these days.
That's right.
But back then it was. And I know that organizations like the Wisdom Center, the Newman Club, brought a lot of speakers onto campus at that time.
Yes, yes. And so, I mean, how lucky for students at that time to have been able to hear her. And she died 2 years later. So, I mean, it was one of the last chances, you know, to see her and hear her speak.
That's right. There's something even more poignant about it,
yes.
Not just the recording, but the fact that she died 2 years later at the age of 39. And you mentioned the opportunity for students to hear that. A number of our listeners know who Darryl Bourke is. He does From the Poet's Bookshelf every week here on KRVS. And I believe he was an 18-year-old student at that time and attended the lecture.
He was. I don't know if he fully knew what he was seeing at the time, but yes, he was there. So, you know, hopefully maybe he can give us some more insight into that on Saturday when our symposium will take place. And, you know, speaking of the lecture circuit, we're bringing in three really wonderful speakers who are all very familiar with her work. One, Bill Sessions, is, I think, almost finished with the first authorized biography of her. So, you know, anyone who attends is going to get the inside scoop on his book, which will be out in the spring, I think.
And this symposium is open to anyone who would like to attend.
It is, and you can show up on Saturday morning, you know, just get there before 8. You can pay at the door. It's $75, but students and faculty have special rates, so there are some discounts available.
Mm-hmm. Well, describe the day. What's going to happen? What can we experience during the symposium?
Well, Flannery O'Connor originally spoke in Jean Mard Hall, so we wanted to do something in there, and we'll be having breakfast and then having an introduction in the hall, and we'll be playing her introduction to her lecture at that time. So you'll get to hear how she introduced herself and how she kicked off her lecture.
In the space where she actually did it, yes.
And then we'll move into the library. It's a little cozier and a little more intimate. We'll move into the library for the three speakers. There will be a lunch break in the middle of the day. And before each speaker, we're going to play another clip of the recording that sort of pertains to their topic. So attendees are going to get to hear a lot from Flannery O'Connor and then a lot from experts on her work.
And having heard a short clip from it, I think I could almost promise that you'll never read Flannery O'Connor in the same way again, having the sound of her voice in your head.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. And you won't believe how thick her Southern drawl is. You know, there's a lot of extra syllables in there, and you have to listen closely.
Lots of Southern diphthongs in there.
Yes.
Well, you mentioned Bill Sessions, who is writing the biography. Who are the other speakers?
The other speakers are Christina Bieber Lake, who actually taught at ESA, so a lot of people might remember her from there. She's the author of The Incarnational Art of Flannery O'Connor, a book that I have not read but that I hear is great. So she'll be speaking about that and about some of the mysticism in her work. And then English professor from Belmont Abbey College, Farrell O'Gorman, is going to speak about O'Connor's and Walker Percy's shared vision in Southern fiction. So Walker Percy fans will get a little nod there.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting. Flannery O'Connor is one of those, I guess, writers that most all of us encounter at some point, surely in high school,
yes,
or at least in college in our first, you know, literature class. She just consistently remains in the anthologies and her books, the novels. One was made into a movie, and I think the second has just recently been made into a film.
There's a new... a new film that's going to be coming out of The Violent Barrett Away. And Brett Grayson with Good Country Pictures, who's working on the film, is going to be with us on Saturday night. So if you come to the dinner at the Alumni Center, you can hear him talk about plans for the film and when it might be out and who might be in it.
Right. So a really interesting time to kind of revisit Flannery O'Connor's stories and perhaps take a look at the film Wise Blood that was done back in the 80s, I think.
Yes, exactly. Novel. Yes. Yeah. Or, you know, pick up the compilation of her short stories and read a couple of them before you come.
Yeah. So you mentioned that you were in the class Books and Film with Dr. Wilson. What was your impression of Flannery O'Connor? What do you like about her?
I had read her in school, as you said, and of course remembered A Good Man Is Hard to Find. But I hadn't read many of her other stories after that. So I was really glad to have a chance to do that. And Dr. Wilson is a big fan, obviously. So she had her favorite stories, which we were reading. And then we had some really great discussion and figured out how relevant her work still is. On Saturday night, we'll be showing the movie version of The Displaced Person, one of her films, which really pertains to immigration issues today. So there's a lot of themes in her work that are still so relevant. And Dr. Wilson says her students just love reading her because they can relate.
Mm-hmm. And there's something always contemporary about her language.
Yes.
You know, it seems like it could have been written today.
Oh, yes.
Even though, again, when you hear that voice, that going to the symposium will be absolutely worth it just to hear those clips from that tape. If you are just tuning in, my guest is Erin Bass. She's editor of Deep South Magazine and is also on the committee that has put together the symposium entitled Flannery O'Connor, The Legacy of a Southern Catholic Writer. That's going to be held this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, at the Catholic Student Center here on the UL campus, which is actually where she gave the lecture back in 1962. And it revolves around this tape that Erin has been talking about that Dr. Wilson discovered in her desk that had been stored for a long time. And of course, reel-to-reel tape doesn't last forever. And so she was very fortunate that the Center for Louisiana Studies was able to restore it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And if anyone wants to get a little sneak peek of the recording, they can go to deepsouthmag.com. And I've got two clips up on the website. If you just do a search for Flannery O'Connor recording, they'll come up and you can hear them.
Mm-hmm. So a little peek into what you can hear during the symposium. And again, just the opportunity to gather with other people and talk about a writer who's become very iconic in the South and really all over the world with her works that continue to startle us and make us laugh. And such a strange mixture of humor and darkness in
her
stories.
Well, Friday night, we're going to start out at the Alumni Center with a little cocktail party. So that'll be a great way. It's only $25 and a great way to meet the speakers who will be here and really have a conversation with them if you'd like to, you know, and then we'll be at Wisdom all day Saturday and back at the Alumni Center Saturday night for dinner and a movie. So there's lots of chances and, you know, separate ticket prices. So if you're on a budget, you can just choose to come to one event, but lots of opportunities throughout the weekend to join us.
Mm. And again, if we were talking earlier about Daryl Bourke being at that original lecture back in 1962, if you know of anyone who was a student here or may have been in the community who could have attended those lectures at Wisdom, give them a call and let them know about the symposium and let them get in touch with the organizers of the symposium.
Yes, please get in touch with us. You can call Wisdom at 232-8741. So, yeah, if you were there, if you know someone who was there or have maybe even just heard about it, give us a call and let us know. We'd love to have that information for Saturday.
Have you back in the audience again.
Yes, right.
So if people would like to register ahead of time, where can they do that?
They can go to ourladyofwisdom.org, and there's a banner on the website that you can just click on, and you'll get to all the registration information. We are asking that people who want to attend the Friday night cocktail party or Saturday night dinner register by tomorrow just for so we can get the food sorted out. But you can show up at the door on Saturday morning for the symposium. It starts at 8, so just get there before that, and we can register you there.
All right, so for those two events, the Friday and Saturday evenings, go to ourladyofwisdom.org
and yes.
find out more about registering for those events.
Yes, you can register online through Eventbrite, or you can call Wisdom and tell them you want to register.
All right. Again, my guest, Erin Bass, editor of Deep South Magazine. There are a couple of small clips on the magazine online
yes.
that you can listen to right now as a little taste of what you can experience this coming weekend for the symposium. And I know sometimes people, when they hear the word symposium, it sounds a bit daunting. But really, it's for anyone who has an interest in Flannery O'Connor, ever read a story by Flannery O'Connor, and would just like to find out more about literature in the South. And
Exactly. Subject. And it'll be unimposing. We'll be cozy in the library. And
the unimposing symposium.
That's right.
And again, just a really nice historical memory of things that went on the campus. 1962, Flannery O'Connor, again, 2 years before she died, spoke at the Catholic Student Center. And this symposium has been organized around that. The name of the symposium, Flannery O'Connor, The Legacy of a Southern Catholic Writer, the 9th and 10th at Our Lady of Wisdom Catholic Student Center here on the UL campus. Thank you so much, Erin, for coming by to let us know more about it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Harmon joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon are Casey Harmon and Cindy Peet, who are with on the board of the Opelousas Little Theater and are here to talk about the play Doubt by John Patrick Shanley, which will open on Thursday, I believe. And both of you are in the play.
Yes.
Okay. Now, I know that the play was made, it won a Pulitzer, and it was made into a film, but I don't know how many people in our audience may have seen it. I don't know that it ran for very long when it came here. So without giving away anything, what is it about the story that really drew the two of you? Why did you all decide to produce it at the Opelousas Little Theater?
Well, I first saw Doubt when I was performing Of Mice and Men at a theater competition in Texas, and it was one of the plays that actually beat us. And so I was a little jealous, and I decided, well, if they beat us, it must be good. And I read the script, watched the movie, and I think that it's a very complex story. There's a lot of layers to it. It's nothing is exactly what it seems. And it uses the idea of the priest versus the new school priest versus the old school nun, and how she believes that he has corrupted a child. Mm-hmm. And it takes that theme and it completely uses that theme to explore a lot of other really interesting subjects.
And, right, and other types of doubt.
Right, yeah. It's sort of the role of faith, the role of power, the church at that time.
What time period are we talking about?
1964.
Okay, so just on the eve of Vatican II.
Yes.
And a lot of changes taking
place. That's right.
Place. Yeah. And Cindy, where did you first encounter the play? Did you see a play or the film version?
I can remember when the movie just first came out, and I saw advertisements for it, and I kind of judged it as something that I didn't want to see. And my sister told me, you need to see it. And I said, I don't want to see another anti-Catholic church. And mm-hmm. she said, that is not mm-hmm. what it is. And it wasn't until Casey had told me about it that I rented the movie. And I said, well, this is a very powerful, powerful story. And at the end, you just don't know what to believe, because Sister Aloysius, who is the old school nun, I play her, and Father Flynn, who is the new type of attitude toward what the direction of the church would be, they both manipulate a young and innocent nun. And so I just loved the character development and the twists in the plot, because you just don't know. You don't really see anything from Father Flynn's point of view. You really don't know what's going on inside of Sister Aloysius's head. But you see how these two people can make somebody see something where there isn't anything. Mm. So, and have a doubt.
One of my favorite things about the show is, in literature and in anything, film, television, whatever, the most interesting villains are the ones who believe that their cause is just. And no matter how you look at this show, who you view as the villain, that standard holds true. Both Father Flynn, both Sister Aloysius, they both believe that whatever that what they're doing is the right thing. Mm-hmm. So it's really interesting.
Well, and the text is written so skillfully as well.
It's just
flawless. He doesn't betray it anywhere. Now, you were mentioning that for those people in our audience who saw the film, you know it is the Meryl Streep character. You have a lot more lines in the play.
Yes, and there are fewer characters in the play. There are only four characters in the play. Okay. You never see the children. You never see any other teachers. It's just these four people who have to communicate all of the lines. And in the movie, some of the lines can be dropped because of camera angles and music is added. And there are a lot of different ways that you can create what the playwright has only words to convey. So there are some very powerful lines that both Father Flynn and Sister Aloysius have in the play that are not in the movie at all.
Well, and you're thrown back completely upon belief, because at least in the film, you, when you see the children, your emotions are called into play, and you make decisions based upon their faces and what they look like and their interaction with the adults, but you don't have that in the play.
No. And that's, it's again, a brilliant decision by John Patrick Shanley to just include these four characters. The other two characters are Sister James, a young nun at the school, and Mrs. Muller, the mother of the student that Sister James suspects Father Flynn of interfering with. Mm-hmm. And I tell you what, both of the actresses for our show have absolutely nailed their parts. Alicia Rigsby playing Sister James, and Christina Marshall, who actually played Mrs. Muller for the Acadiana Repertory Theater version of this show, I saw her do that. I was working sound on that show, and she was the first person I asked to play Mrs. Muller.
That's a very difficult role.
She's amazing.
She's dead on.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And the great thing about directing this show, and I think my co-director, Casey Tate, would also say this, is everybody in the show is given the performance that we saw in our head. When I thought of Sister Aloysius, I thought, nobody is going to play this as well as Cindy will. When I saw Sister James, I said, no one's going to play this as well as Alicia, you know, Mrs. Muller. And it's absolutely been the easiest show in the world to direct. It's I've been so much fun.
Mm-hmm. I want to tell people who are just tuning in, listening to your descriptions, my guests are Casey Harmon and Cindy Peet. They are on the board of the Opelousas Little Theater, and they're also acting in the play Doubt by John Patrick Shanley. It's his Pulitzer Prize winning play, and they will open on Thursday.
Yes.
Now, for those in our audience who have not been to a performance in Opelousas for the Little Theater, tell us just a bit about the Little Theater as an organization.
We've been around, I believe
since
it's been
1939.
And to me, there's bigger buildings, there's other places to perform that are maybe more modern, have, you know, more amenities. But to me, the Little Theater is a theater that feels like home. Mm-hmm. It's very small, about 100 seats, very cozy. And it absolutely fits the type of shows that I like doing. I like smaller, character-driven pieces that you don't necessarily have to have great amounts of space and huge production value. You can just get, you know, four people on a stage, get those 100 people huddled around the stage, and, you know, tell good stories. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful,
it's a very intimate space.
Wonderful place.
It's a former church, and it was moved into South City Park. It actually shares the same parking lot as the big stadium, Donald Gardner Stadium, but it's kind of tucked behind the fire station. But Cresswell Lane comes to a T at the parking lot, and you just come right in there.
So it's very easy to find. You turn on Cresswell Lane.
Very easy to find. Mm-hmm. And tickets are available at the door, or you can purchase them in advance at
Sebastian Dupre Fine Jewelers.
Mm-hmm. How long has the Little Theater been in that location?
Since 1964, 63, okay. Something like that.
That's a long tradition right there.
Oh, sure.
And we have had the Ghost Hunters come, the group that works in Lafayette. They've mm-hmm. come because we have some interesting things there.
Sure.
And it's just a great place.
Yeah. Where was the Little Theater before that? Where was it located?
I'm not sure. I think it's always been at buildings in South City Park. We mm-hmm. always consider South City Park our home. Mm-hmm. And we have performed at other venues, and we have been asked to come to – you've performed – at New Roads, in New Roads.
Right. We took Of Mice and Men to New Roads a couple of years ago. That was kind of an honor. They had heard about the show, and they were like, hey, will you come and do this? And so that was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed doing that. That's one of my all-time favorite shows.
Opelousas Little Theater on tour.
That's it.
On tour.
Hey, well, anytime, anywhere, just let us know.
And we have activities for children in the summertime. And we have a talent show that we do every January. And Casey is a co-director for that. And that's how we discover new people and new talent. And so anybody who wants to know about Opelousas Little Theater can contact us through Facebook.
Okay, so you'll have a Facebook page.
Oh, yes.
Just Opelousas Little Theater?
Yes.
Okay, so if you like that page, you'll get information about upcoming shows and activities y'all are having
Sure.
there. Well, again, my guest Casey Harmon, Cindy Pete, talking about Doubt, which will open at the Opelousas Little Theater this Thursday. How many performances will you have?
We'll be doing, excuse me, we'll be doing eight shows.
Eight shows. The evening shows are Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 7 o'clock, and then each weekend we have a Sunday matinee at 2.
Okay, so lots of opportunities to see it,
yes.
But don't wait too long.
No, don't. Please, just come. We love doing this, and just come on and come
and
see a good show.
Come often. Come
yeah,
more than
come
once.
Come more than once,
well,
yeah.
This is what I was going to ask you all. You've been you've each seen either the film or a production of it, and you've been rehearsing this play for a long time, living with these lines and just these four characters. Has your sense of what goes on in the play matured or developed or changed?
Yeah. It really has.
What's really amazing is the first time that Christine came to practice with her, with us, we had kind of had an idea. Each one of us has an idea of who our character is. And so Christina came, and we started talking about her character, and we talked for 2 hours after rehearsal about who Father Flynn was and who Mrs. Muller was and what the backstory was between Sister Aloysius and Sister James. And that is how amazing this play is. You can talk about it and still never resolve anything, and then the conversation happens again later. Well, what about this particular? Oh, I hadn't thought about that. And then you have new ideas, and it's a play that I think I could watch the movie or the play several times before I really had a good grasp on the genius of the play.
And I noticed how you hesitated on grasp.
I think as rehearsals have gone on, I think I've kind of become a little more suspicious of Father Flynn, and I think Cindy has become a little less judgmental of him. So it's really strange, because in my mind, you know, when we started, Father Flynn was absolutely innocent.
And he was absolutely guilty.
Yeah.
I called Casey after I read the play and I said, oh, it's on like Donkey Kong.
Yeah. She said, you horrible man. I'm like, gosh,
Father Flynn in the study with the lead pipe.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's been a lot of fun. I'm actually interested to hear what people think afterwards. It's a really good conversation starter, and I think we need that. There's a big lack of civil discourse about sometimes uncomfortable topics.
Well, and stories, as you said, storytelling, plays allow us that safe space to experience those emotions and thoughts and have conversations.
Absolutely. It's a parable, and it's really well written. I'm just pleased to be able to do this show.
And as you suggest, perhaps go two or three times.
Absolutely. Sure. Different experience every time.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and you suggest people get their tickets ahead of time since it is an intimate space, or what?
Sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, absolutely. Sebastian Dupre, Fine Jewelers, you can in Opelousas, you can buy them early there, but we will always have tickets at the door as well, and we just invite everybody to come out and support local theater, support local arts. Theater is theater's an important thing to keep alive, that storytelling tradition that's very rich in South Louisiana, and having a theater program can enrich the lives of anybody who tries it. And so we just want to keep that alive and keep that spirit going. And we need some people to come out and see the show to keep that going. And
And we are fortunate in South Louisiana. So many communities do have a form of little theater,
sure.
And sometimes more than one.
Oh yeah.
They're quite busy and quite active, and people have really gotten in the habit of going out to plays and
to see a live mm-hmm. performance. And we have so much talent in this area, and there are a lot of people who don't even realize how talented they are until they take a leap of faith and come to an audition. And, you know, you may not even really want a part. You just want to be a part of something. And that's how you get to be on board of directors. And we can always use volunteers. There's always a lot of fun backstage and in set design and construction and costume making.
So you don't necessarily have to be on stage in front of people.
Oh, no.
You can
no,
be involved.
And, you know, we're all hams. We love to be on the stage. Yeah. But we also realize that without those workers, there's no show to put on. Mm-hmm. And without the audience, we're just dressed up in funny costumes.
That's what I say at the end of every show. You know, we love to do this, but without an audience, we're just people standing around in costumes talking to each other, which is fun. But, you know, it's more fun when we have people, you know, checking out with their show or laugh or react or gasp. Whatever. Any reaction is a good reaction, I think.
I think people can hear the joy and passion in your voices about it. And obviously it's been successful in Opelousas since the early 1930s. You have had the little theater, people supporting it. And absolutely, if people want to find out more about it, you mentioned the Facebook page. Is there also a website or what's best?
The Facebook page would probably be the easiest. I'm not sure if the web page has been updated or not. But Facebook, we always have things going on. You can definitely find out more information there.
All right. That is the Opelousas Little Theater. They will open John Patrick Shanley's play Doubt, which won a Pulitzer Prize. They will open on Thursday and run for 8 shows. If you do go to the Facebook page, you'll get updates on what shows are available and
yes.
reminders that
yes,
the show is
And also, if you're interested in auditioning, you can let us know that through Facebook, and we will let you know when the auditions are. We normally advertise it in the newspaper, and we'll post it on Facebook, but it's always so much better if we know how to get in touch with you and what sort of parts you would like to play, and if you would like to be a director. We invite all of that. We have musicals where we need musicians, and we need singers, and we need dancers, or if we don't have a musical, then we need somebody to help us just to, you know, to act out these dramas and comedies, and just have a lot of fun.
All right, so go to Opelousas, young actor. Lots of things happening
yes,
up there.
Yes.
The Opelousas Little Theater. They have a Facebook page. You can find out more about this performance of Doubt, and as Cindy was saying, so many other opportunities if you're interested in any aspect of theater, acting, behind the scenes. Lots to do there. Very vibrant theatrical community there. Thank you both, Casey Harmon and Cindy Pete, on the board of the Opelousas Little Theater. Doubt opens on Thursday and runs for 8 shows.
Well, thanks for having us. It's always great talking to you.
Thank you. Now a look at what's happening in the arts and culture in South Louisiana. The UL Lafayette Chorale and Chamber Singers will perform tonight on Election Day. It doesn't have anything to do with voting. The topic of the concert is travel, and the choirs will take you on a journey around the world. They'll sing music in Spanish, Russian, Hungarian, Taiwanese, German, Maori, and English and Cajun French. That's tonight at 7:30. If you'd like just a little relief from all of the discussion, the politics, you can go hear some great music here on campus in Burke Hawthorne Theater. The UL Lafayette Chorale and Chamber Singers, a free concert, 7:30 in Burke Hawthorne Theater. Again, that is tonight. And in Lake Charles, the McNeese Theater Bayou Players will present The Women of Lockerbie, opening tomorrow evening, 7:30 in the Shearman Fine Arts Theater. The play will run through the weekend. The Women of Lockerbie is by Deborah Brevoort, and it examines how to convert an act of hatred into an act of love. And that, again, will run Wednesday through Sunday. Also in Lake Charles, the Department of Performing Arts presents the McNeese Honors Brass Quintet and Quintessentials Woodwind in a free concert Wednesday evening at 7:30 in the Ralph Squires Recital Hall. The Friends of Dupre Library annual book sale will run Wednesday through Saturday. There will be a preview sale for UL faculty and staff this Wednesday, tomorrow evening from 4 to 6. The book sale will open to the public Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. That sale will be on the first floor of Dupre Library. In Lake Charles on Thursday, the Southwest Louisiana Arts and Cultural Symposium will take place, 11:30 to 5 p.m. in the Contraband Room of the Civic Center. The keynote speaker will be Malcolm White, who is on the Mississippi Arts Commission. It is hosted by the Southwest Louisiana Economic Development Alliance and the Arts and Humanities Council. Speakers will also be Pam Breaux, Mayor Randy Roach, and Erica McCree. For more information, you can call the Southwest Louisiana Arts and Humanities Council. The UL Lafayette School of Music and Performing Arts presents State of La Danse Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 7:30 and on Sunday the 11th at 2 p.m. All performances will be in Angel Hall Auditorium on the UL Lafayette campus. On Thursday, the Opelousas Little Theater will open John Patrick Shanley's play Doubt. It will open on Thursday and run through the 18th. There are Sunday matinees. Tickets will be available at the door. In Grand Coteau, the 5th Annual Festival of Words will take place Thursday through Saturday in Grand Coteau and other locations in St. Martin and St. Landry Parish. Most events are free. And for information, you can go to their website, festivalofwords.org. It will open Thursday with an opening session that all are invited to, and then there are workshops, literary readings, authors will be in the schools, and there will be community events, including drive-by poetry and a community stage as well. That website, again, is festivalofwords.org. And the annual general banquet for Ducks Unlimited will take place this Thursday. That will be at the Hyman Center Ballroom. For more information, you can go to the website LafayetteDU.org. It will, I believe the doors open at 5:30 and the event begins at 6:30. That's this Thursday, the annual general banquet of the Lafayette chapter of Ducks Unlimited. And the Bach Lunch will continue this Friday with their final performance of the fall. The group Rue Bougalou will be performing in Parc Sanssouci. The Fall Downtown Alive series continues in Parc Sanssouci as well this Friday with a performance by Nickel Beer. That performance starts around 6 o'clock. At Cité des Arts, the musical Cabaret will continue this weekend. It will be performed Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. For more information, you can contact Cité des Arts by calling them at 291-1122 or go to their website, citédesarts.org. This weekend, there will be a symposium on Flannery O'Connor on the UL Lafayette campus entitled Flannery O'Connor, The Legacy of a Southern Catholic Writer. It will take place partly in the Catholic Student Center in Wisdom, Jamard Hall, which is where Flannery O'Connor gave a lecture back in 1962. And there are excerpts that will be played during this symposium of a tape that was discovered of her talk here on campus. So they'll play several segments from that original lecture that was in Jamard Hall in the Catholic Student Center on the UL Lafayette campus. It will run through the weekend. For more information, you can contact Our Lady of Wisdom, go to their website, or give them a call. You can register for some of the events. This Friday in Lafayette at Cité des Arts, the Brad Walker Quartet with Oscar Rossignoli, Trey Boudreau, and Sam Weissman. They will perform Friday, November 9th at 9:30 p.m. at Cité. In Lake Charles at the Calcasieu Museum in the Gibson, the Imperial Calcasieu Museum in the Gibson Barham Gallery, a collection of three monologues written by Carolyn Woosley called The Writers, and that will be performed Friday and Saturday evenings at 7 p.m. Maggie, Kate, and Rosa. Tickets or information available through itinerattheater.com. Itinerant Theater is producing The Writers. On Saturday, the Bag Mat Ministry will be giving a workshop in Lafayette at Grace Presbyterian Church. You or your group organization can learn to make sleeping mats for the homeless from recycled plastic shopping bags. That workshop is from 9 until 2 in Lafayette at Grace Presbyterian Church. There will be a free rabies clinic for cats and dogs this Saturday, November 10th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., sponsored by the Wildcat Spay Nation for Dogs and Cats. That will be on the Evangeline Thruway in the Lafayette Jockey Lot from 11 to 3 p.m. Again, free rabies shots for cats and dogs. All are invited, and they will be giving those shots until they run out. In Grand Coteau on Saturday, the Creole History of Grand Coteau at the Festival of Words. If you're interested in the history of Grand Coteau, particularly the Creole history, you're invited 11 a.m. until 2:30 p.m. at the Thinstead Center. And the Acadiana Symphony Orchestra presents Cirque de la Symphonie this Saturday, November 10th at the Hyman Performing Arts Center. Tickets are available at the Hyman. And for a listing of programs on KRVS, please stop by our website, krvs.org, clicking on the schedule button. And you can download a weekly schedule. You can also podcast many of our locally produced programs. Stay tuned to KRVS this afternoon and evening. We're with NPR's All Things Considered from 4 to 6. From 6 to 7, it's Terry Gross. And at 7 o'clock, we join NPR for their election night coverage. We will be with them until they close out. So at 7 o'clock, beginning at 7, you can follow NPR's election night coverage. In just a moment, we join NPR's All Things Considered.
You're listening to KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles, listener-supported public radio for Acadiana. Find us on Facebook at KRVS Public Media.